The scripture reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hand. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Neil's right. We are looking at the title "Face the Giant" this morning, and I wonder sometimes whether the giant that we're facing is the giant of doubt. And we're going to look at doubt this morning and what that means and what that has to say, particularly in regards to our lives. I think Thomas gets a bad rap. We refer to him as Doubting Thomas 2,000 years on. How many of us have ever doubted God working in our life in 2,000 years' time? We're probably not going to get referred to as doubting whoever we are, right? But so I think it gets a bad rap. But what I see in Thomas is a friend, a colleague, and a fellow doubter. Because I have found myself at times thinking, I'm not so sure I'm seeing God in all of this. I'm sure I'm not Robinson Crusoe in the room either, right? What is it that we doubt? Do we doubt that God is going to show up? Do we doubt that in our own abilities? Sometimes I think we have our own expectations of how far we're going to be able to do it on our own. And we're going to watch a video just now before we continue. And it talks about, in there, there's this seed of doubt in which they have to face. Thanks, George.
I'm sorry.
Brock doubted what he could do. Brock doubted where he would fit. Brock doubted what he could get done. He had already given himself a limit that he could only make it to the 50. Particularly, I could do it on my own, all by myself, if I am if I didn't have anyone on my back. Somebody believed in him and said that he could do something that he didn't think he could do. He committed to giving his best. You see, we have expectations not just on ourselves, but on what God can do for us, don't we? We have expectations on what God might be able to do in our situation. Stop putting limits, friends, on an unlimited God. We sing a song that says, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise." We talk about a God who is exceedingly more than we could ask or imagine, and yet we then put him in a box and say, for us to engage with God, he needs to fit here. And this is how we want him to turn up and how we want him to work. When we're facing our doubts, when we're facing our giant, God doesn't always live up to our expectations, but he always lives up to his word. He said, "I will be with you always, to the ends of the earth." There was once two prisoners who were in a prison cell together, right next door to each other. They shared a window, and then there was a bars in between each of them. One sat there and looked at the ground, and he sat there every day for the entirety of his jail sentence, and he thought, "There is no hope for me in this world. I cannot do anything. I am stuck here inside these four walls." The other cellmate looked up, looked out past the bars that he saw in the window, and saw the stars of what might be in the future. He didn't look at his current situation. He looked at what might be into the future and dreamed about what could be when his current situation was over. You see, one person sat there and looked at the bars. He looked at the barriers. He looked at the things that were going to stop him from engaging within society. And yet the other one looked past the bars and looked to the stars and saw the hope of what was to come. You see, I think, friends, there are many times where we live out a prison perspective, which causes us to be robbed of living out the vision of our destiny that is freedom found in Jesus. We live out a prison perspective because it causes us to doubt the destiny in which God has given to us, a life transformed, a life renewed in Him. My encouragement to you this morning is to let your faith define you. Don't let your failure. Your faith is far more important than your failure. Your faith is far more important to you than failures. We often tell ourselves that, like Thomas in the passage this morning, we refer to him and define him by what we would see by human standards as a failure. What do you mean you can't believe that Jesus is here? Unless I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, I can't believe. And we say, you are now, forevermore, referred to as Doubting Thomas. His faith is probably a lot like our faith. We need to see sometimes that Jesus is moving for our faith to be transformed. That's why it's so helpful for our faith journey to hear from our friends here at church. Even when we doubt, God continues to show up. Have you ever doubted? that God's going to do it? Have you ever doubted that God's going to engage with you in the things that you're praying for? In verse 19 of that same passage from John chapter 20, these are the words we find there. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Even when we doubt, even when we, the landscape in which we look out to and the horizon in which we look to, means that we lock ourselves away, God will still work in spite of that. And He will still come and spend time with us. You see, I think what God is asking, He's not saying to us, don't doubt, because that's a human response, right? What God is asking from us this morning is the same thing that the coach asked of that young player on the football field. He wants us to give Him our best. He wants us to give Him our best and allow our best, focusing on His words to us, His promises to us. Don't give up when we've got to the end of our earthly resources. What's the hymn that we've sung many times, probably at this church and many churches that I've been involved in? When we exhaust all of our earthly resources, He giveth and giveth and giveth again, right? We believe that when we get to the end of what we've got to give, that God gives His grace because it has no measure. To multiply trials, what does it say? He multiplies peace. I'm not sure that the piece of paper is ever going to be big enough to list out the trials that those first disciples were experiencing in John 20:19. They're locked in a room. The person that they've given up their entire life for has just died, and they're now in a room locked away. And the list of trials that is coming their way is massive. And Jesus comes and stands in the midst and says, "I want to give you peace. In the midst of your trials, I want to give you peace." I found this word this week when I thought it was a bit funny. I can't say it because I don't want to hurt myself. But there it is, and it's the fear of long words. It's a humongous word, right? And it's the fear of long words. That made me laugh. In fact, I chuckled about that for days in the office. I'm not sure that everyone else thought I probably thought I was a bit weird. But there are often fears that we face about the unknown. Fears of loss, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown is particularly something that we doubt about. Well, I know that God's here and I've experienced God here, but if I take a step out there, I don't know if He's there. He's here. So often our fear of the unknown stops us from taking the steps of faith that God is asking us to take. Well, maybe that's just me. I'm pretty sure it's not. But there have been many times in my journey where I've thought to myself, why would I step out? I know He's here. I don't know if He's there. And it's part of my doubting that I can't even see that next step, but I'm hoping that He's there. Imagine if we were Simon Peter who was asked by Jesus to step out of the boat, taking his eyes off. Jesus made him sink, but taking that first step would have been too much for me. This morning, what's our giant? What's the thing that we just don't seem to be able to get over? What's the one thing we can't get around or under? What's the one thing that we can't seem to be able to jump past? Are we giving God our best and trusting Him to handle the rest? Are we giving Him our best? Are we giving Him our best? Because there are times, just like that young footy player on the screen this morning, where we will scream out to God and say, "This hurts. I can't go any further. In fact, I can't take another step. I don't think I've got anything inside of me. I'm doubting that I can take the next step." And He is saying to us, "Give me your best and trust Him to look after it." So we bring our offering of our best to Him, and He blesses it and uses it. Have you ever doubted? Is there something that you're doubting that God's going to work in right now? Maybe you've been praying for a family member to find a relationship with Jesus, and it just hasn't happened like you'd wanted it to. Maybe you want somebody, a friend in your friend in your life, to find a freedom found in Jesus that you've found. And mate, you've been praying about that for ages. You've been planting seeds in your relationships with them, and it just doesn't seem to have happened. When we're faithful in the praying and faithful in the planting, and we just feel like we're doing everything we can, there gets to a point where when we look up, we think, "Why bother? I may as well just give up." That young boy this morning was blindfolded so that his expectations didn't stop him from giving his best. I wonder sometimes whether we spend all of our focus on giving our best rather than the best. I wonder sometimes whether we give our best and not the best that is within us. There's a passage in Colossians chapter 2 that says, "Let your roots grow down into Him," that is Jesus, "and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Let our roots go down deep into God. I saw a photo the other day where a tree had been uprooted from its from the ground and was laying on the side. And all the branches were growing upwards off the side of this tree. It had not given up growing just because it had been uprooted from the ground. It was only sort of hard. There was still some of the roots down deep. It continued to grow because of the deep roots that it had pushed down into the ground. I wonder whether you, like me, find yourselves at times hurting, that we've got fatigue. Might be physical fatigue. It could be spiritual fatigue, that I've been toiling and wrestling for so long about this particular thing. And I'm hurting. I don't think I can take one more step. Maybe we don't have any more resources left. Wherever we find ourselves, Paul writes that when we've exhausted our earthly resources, that His grace is sufficient for us. Do we believe that? Or do we add that to the list of doubts? Right? Well, it's good to say that, you know, His grace is sufficient, but It's sufficient for most things, I'd reckon, but what about this? And I've got a list, right? We've all got that list going off in our heads. When they say sufficient, does he really mean? And you add in that thing. When you say sufficient, Wes, do you really mean this is included and that's included? I'm not saying it. Paul's experienced it. It's Paul's testimony that God's grace is sufficient and will supply all our wants. Is that what Scripture says? No. It's all of our needs according to his riches in glory. It's his. It's our needs. His riches. So what are we doubting about this morning? Maybe we don't want to announce it. Maybe it's not something we put around on a sandwich board, right? Walking around town. Here it is. Maybe we put it on social media. Maybe that's the new 21st century sandwich board. However we find ourselves, if people knew what was in our doubt list, and they saw it and read it and thought, why are you doubting on that? My God's bigger than that. Why are you doubting on this? My God's bigger than this. And they might even look at your sandwich board and say exactly the same thing. You see, because sometimes I think that we feel that our giant, whatever it might be, is the biggest thing on our horizon. I think we need to change our perspective and see it from God's point of view. It's massive to us because it's right in front of us. If you went and stood at the end of this road, drove across Boonafastfern Road and drove up the hill a little bit and just parked the car, Mount French would look fairly big, right? It's right there. You look up and you think to yourself, it is not possible. It is not possible from this point to get over it, to get around it, to get under it. It's just too big. You could fly over it and from 37,000 feet when you're in a jet plane, it will look like a speck on the landscape. When you see it from God's point of view, which is even higher than a jet plane, our mountains, our giants, are not as great as his power, which overcomes sin and death and transforms life and gives freedom and release. Has God ever got you over a mountain before? Has God ever got you through something before? The psalmist told us a secret in Psalm 23, verse 4, where it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't say that tough things are not going to come our way. But he says it's a journey through, not a journey to. It is not a destination. God leads us there, and at the other end, we will experience his peace. Being afraid is not a problem. Well, it's easy for me to say that on the sidelines, right? I'm not in the game with you in your lives. We're allowed to be afraid. God gives us in his scripture 365 times, do not be afraid. It says in scripture, do not be afraid, or be of great courage. He tells Joshua, be of great courage, do not be afraid, for I am your God. This is a promise that has been around for a long, long time. In Exodus 19, God says to his people, I want you to be my people and I want you to be my God. That's around the wrong way. My brain's hurting. I want you to be my people and I want me to be your God. I want me to be number one. I want me to be your number one. So what's your giant this morning? What's the giant in which you just don't seem to be able to get over, to get past, to get around, to get under, to get through? Maybe you're like that young boy on the video earlier and you say, I can't take one more step. It hurts too much. I've done as much as I can do. Face the giant. Let's allow our vision to be a vision of hope, looking past the bars, but looking past the barriers in which we find in our life, and allow our vision to be that of hope, a hope found in Him of what is to come. It doesn't delete. Notice this morning's message title is not delete the giant. Delete is an awesome key on the keyboard, isn't it? Except when you didn't want it to go and you were trying to work on something. Delete's awesome. You can just pretend like it doesn't exist. This morning, it is face the giant with God by your side, and you will, like David, have the victory. David didn't have the victory because of any human resources. We all know the story of David and Goliath, don't we? He left the human resources behind and went with his God to face the giant. So your giant this morning, whatever it might be, God gives to us each a helper in the Holy Spirit to guide, to challenge, to mold and make us into who He wants us to be. For we are made for His glory. I'm going to ask the music team to come in just a moment. And as they come, we're going to sing words that say, let your presence fall. On the situation that I'm thinking about this morning whilst Wes was talking, God, would you let your presence fall on that? On the giant in which I'm facing, help me to see it from your perspective. Help me to see it from your viewpoint, God. And whilst it looks insurmountable at the moment, it's one of those can't jump over it kind of things that I'm facing.